Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Today is more than about Democrats and Republicans. It's about restoring the Constitution's checks and balances to the Trump administration.
We saw the candidates that I supported achieve tremendous success last night.
The midterm election is over. Now the fighting begins anew. Democrats take over leadership in the House and they put the president on notice. Republicans shoring up strength in the Senate. How can a divided House stand and get anything done? And who showed muscle at the polls yesterday? Well, we're talking about that tonight. My guests are Deborah Simmons with the Washington Times and Nicole Green, Democratic strategist. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Everybody awake? I'm still nodding just a little bit.
I'm here, barely, but yeah. And I ate cheesecake and apple pie before I came here to make sure the sugar kept me going.
Well, I think that's probably the only sweetness we heard today. Let's talk about the big news. Jeff Sessions out. Nicole, surprised, not surprised? Your thoughts?
Not surprised at all. We knew that this was coming. I think the president purposely was just trying to wait till after the midterms to see how everything shook out. I think he felt very energized today, especially given his demeanor during this press conference. And as the folks would say, he was feeling himself. And so I think he just decided, since I'm feeling myself today, I'm going to go ahead and fire this guy that I've been wanting to fire for months anyway.
Deborah.
As older folks would say, he was feeling and smelling himself. Listen, we knew this was coming. He blew up. I shouldn't say that pronoun. The president was quite miffed when he found out that Jeff Sessions had recused himself from the special counsel's
investigation.
Yeah. So it was a matter of time, tick tock, tick clock, and we're not all on Trump's time, and we didn't see this coming. We knew it was coming, that it was on the agenda, I'll put it that way, but we didn't know when it would come, and what better day to do it than today, and why? Because of that very interesting press conference that was held to talk about the winners and losers in the race, and what went on there, and to be able to start driving the agenda, his own agenda, and changing the narrative of what happened before the 5 and 6 o'clock news came on this evening.
Well, let's talk about that, because according to the president, he and the GOP were the overall winners. This wasn't a glass half full. His cup runneth over, according to what he said during the course of this press conference.
I mean, they picked up 2 Senate seats in states where it wasn't surprising that they picked up 2 Senate seats. Those were states where Trump won handedly, 2 years ago. And so I think when you really get down to the numbers, I think the Democrats actually, while we did not win as many Senate seats as we would have liked, while, you know, some of us are disappointed about the Gillum race and Stacey Abrams, you know, we picked up a number of gubernatorials, you know, governor's mansions across the state, across the country. We won back the House. We have flipped several state legislatures, which are going to be really important as we're approaching redistricting coming up. And so I think in terms of the Democratic Party, we have a lot to be proud of, especially wins in Michigan, especially wins in Wisconsin, which are 2 states that Trump did win. And so, you know, if we can continue to press and continue to strengthen our field game, I think we'll be poised in 2 years for the presidential. And you're right. The president is really trying to set the tone going into, he knows that the presidential cycle is starting now, starting today. And so he's trying to set the tone as to his next 2 years and running for president again. And so, yeah.
And even if he doesn't, for the Republican Party to go forward, to have momentum to go forward in 2020 and not don't be surprised if you see the agenda not being necessarily Donald J. Trump's agenda, but America's agenda. And I say that because two of the most decisive issues that are mm-hmm. coming up, one is pending now with the caravan moving toward our southern border.
Right.
And that was a decisive issue in this Tuesday night's election as well. But I think more importantly, because we always talk about what's at the top of the ticket, but we have to watch out for the races down ticket as well. And why? Because those are the races that determine what's going on in our schools, what's going on in transportation, what's going on with public works administration programs, and what's going on in our pocketbooks. Because those are the people, the attorney, whether it's the attorneys general, the governor, yay, Larry won. Yay. Angela Alsobrook, too, though,
okay,
because
yes,
I've been cheering for
yes,
girlfriend all
A
along.
A to Angela Alsobrook.
All along.
And Prince George's County executive, the first woman to run Prince George's
Hallelujah,
County.
Hallelujah. The angels are singing. But we also have that race in Georgia where you had the heavyweights of the party, the titular head, Barack Obama, and Oprah Winfrey going and rooting on her behalf. And then, interestingly, a few days just before the polls themselves opened, because there was early voting and mm-hmm. everything still going on, up pops this picture of four new Black Panther Party members armed with automatic weapons sitting atop a car with a poster that says, whose name? Stacey Abrams for governor. So, I mean, this is Georgia we're talking about.
Right.
My family still owns the red clay dirt down there. That's our land. However, we have to remember that it takes more than endorsements, mm-hmm. particularly along in the Bible Belt and sometimes even in the Midwest, to get a candidate over the hump of Brian
Kemp.
Hello.
Yes. Yeah.
The same hump that Ben Jealous couldn't get over in Maryland, which was one of the most telling signs, I think, of where the political, where the voters stand.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking winners and losers after the midterm election and where does America go from here. If you have a comment, if you have a question, share it with us at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's talk about the winners, first of all. Not individuals, but groups. Who were the biggest winners yesterday, whether they were at the polls or whether they were running?
I would say women. Women showed out in record numbers all across the country. They broke 60% for the Democratic Party, and I think that's something that the GOP definitely needs to be concerned about. And then you also had a record number of women running for office and also a record number of women winning public office. This is the first time in American history we're going to have more than 100 women serving in the U.S. House of Representatives now. You know, we elected our first female Native American to serve in the United States House of Representatives. I think women won very
Muslim.
Muslim American,
exactly.
Somali Americans.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, I think if you had to say if there's one group, definitely women won across the country in very large numbers.
And for me, and I didn't see or hear anybody, we watched mostly CNN today, say what that means for the glass ceiling. If we shattered that glass ceiling, is there another one up there that we just haven't been paying attention to?
Such as?
I don't know. What else do we, or do we just merely want numbers? Because we're back at this thing 2 years from now.
Right.
And 2 years after that, we're at it again. And you never stop running. Honestly, as a member of the House, you never stop running.
Yeah.
Every 2 years, you have to turn. Your seat can turn over. And the redistricting race and the gerrymandering that's going to be going on and the census fights, which will deal with the layers and layers, not only closer to us at home as individual and family taxpayers, but also for that glass ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Have you really shattered it or did you just crack it and the safe glass man can come in and take it up and there he goes?
Well, yeah, he's going to show up wherever you are. Right.
He is.
202-319-7810. 1-800-202-319-7810. Winners, losers, and what's ahead for America after this midterm election. Kelly, calling from D.C., thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, like I say, we always seem to want to start things, you know, things need to start now. You know how we say it? Yeah, it's every 2 years. We don't need to wait, you know, get out the vote. We need to start now, because if you don't start things now, we need to, like I say, get things rolling, because if you wait, it just seems like things just fall apart. Like I said, we don't know who's going to be at the top of the ticket, but let me just say, we just need to look at someone that's, you know, enthusiastic, that can speak well and get out, because this thing is going to roll, and we need to be able to roll with it.
Okay, Kelly, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Greg, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Greg. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good evening. In terms of winners and losers, the way I see it is, and I'm an independent, so the way I see it is, I think statistically the Republican Party probably came out ahead. However, the Democratic Party did send a strong message, you know, but I think what I'm concerned about with the Democratic Party is, you know, I've heard some rumor that some of them are talking about impeachment. I don't think that's the wise decision if you're trying to, you know, win the presidency in 2020. And, you know, people need to realize, too, that, you know, even though they have the power to impeach, it's still the Republican Republicans are in the Senate, and the Senate is the one who still convicts. So I think that's a bad idea. I think they should just, you know, do certain things like, you know, check the president's taxes and oversight. But I wouldn't go no further than that.
Okay.
And that's all I have to say.
Greg, thank you so much. Let me talk to Red. Red, calling from Columbia. What's on your mind, Red? Red, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go right ahead.
All right. Good stuff. First of all, in terms of eliminating partisan politics, I think Joe Biden and Barack Obama need to make a shift. Instead of shaking hands across the aisle, they need to become Republicans in 2020, run on the ticket, bow. That's Biden, Obama, Barack Obama, and Biden again. This time, Barack Obama as vice president, Joe Biden as president, and that it would pay tribute to Joe Biden's son, Beau, who passed from cancer. And it would just open up a world of opportunities and colorful imagination. It is a real, it's something that needs to be, we need to get in Joe Biden's ear. Okay.
Okay.
We need to concertedly suggest to him that he consider changing parties like Joseph Lieberman did,
mm-hmm.
who was both an independent at one point, a Republican and a Democrat. And let's blow up this partisan politics BS. Once and for all.
Okay, Red, thank you so much. Before 2016, I would have said, Red, you're crazy. But after what we've seen for the past 2 years, I think Red is inspired.
Right. Exactly, he is. And everybody loves Uncle Joe. I mean,
right.
he's the one you do want as your uncle. And he was a good partner in the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. There's no, he knew when to come in and say something, and he knew when to sit back and listen and watch what was going on, because he knew Barack was the president. That's understood.
Right.
And Mike Pence and Donald Trump sort of have a similar relationship. When you want to feel or see or hear Mike Pence's passion, pay attention to Mike Pence. I paid close attention to him the day when that nonsense went on with Jim Acosta from CNN and Donald Trump about the microphone and sit down and be quiet, and CNN should be ashamed in that thing. And I watched Mike Pence. He was so calm over there. But sometimes I wished he was the kind of guy who would say, hey, DJ, calm down. But you know he's not going to do that. The thing is that, and I want to go back to I can't remember
Red.
His name. The caller who was inquiring about the impeachment thing and that's not a good idea. The thing is that I don't know if everybody, all our listeners know, but Jerry Conley will likely be head of the House Oversight Committee,
right,
where all the arguments and probes and investigations and flies are perched on the wall to find out what's really going on. And I could always see, especially in the past 6 or 8 months, Connolly sort of seething, saying, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. But the fact that it might not be a good idea, because while that impeachment issue is certainly on the agenda of the Democrats and remains on the minds of a lot of American voters, don't take us back. If you want to move the party forward, you have to move the party forward. And if you dare bring up impeachment, you have to remind voters that the next person in line to be president is
Mike Pence.
Hello.
Right, exactly.
Right, yeah, the,
and so it, yeah, it, it's not just a singular action.
What you see on what's the show with Kiefer Sutherland, where he Kiefer Sutherland.
I know that one. By the way,
where he's you know which one I mean.
Yeah.
This ain't that. This is real life in the U.S. Constitution. That
well,
is.
We're going to continue to talk about real life.
202
designated survivor. Yeah, there you go. 202-319-7810 202-319-7810 Lines are still open. We want to hear from you. Who were the winners? Who were the losers? And what's ahead for America after the midterm elections? Pam in Virginia, Anthony calling from D.C. Stay on the line. You will be able to hear the program, so please don't hang up. We're coming to you next. And for the rest of you, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm is next on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. The midterm elections are over. Can a divided House stand and get anything done? My guests are Deborah Simmons with the Washington Times and Nicole Green, Democratic strategist. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phones, I want to go back to the winners and losers question. And I want to talk a little bit more about the women first. As you reminded us, Nicole, more than, 100 women, moving into Congress right now. I think that, that is just, amazing. Some would say, look how far we've come. But but why is that? Why are we seeing so many women able to step up? I'm not talking about run. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about run and win.
Right.
Was that the Donald Trump factor, Republican or Democrat, or was there something else going on?
It's a combination of a lot of different things. I think the Donald Trump factor was definitely a heavy reason why you saw a lot of women running. I think part of the reason why you're seeing not only a lot of women running, but a lot of women also winning is there's been, I guess, kind of a movement afoot in different circles, with Emily's List, with other organizations such as Emerge America, training Democratic women to run for public office, and, training women on basically the things that guys have known all of these years, how to fundraise, how to get your messaging out, those types of things that were never really accessible to a lot of women who were interested in politics before. And so I think because there are more resources out here for women, and to really understand how to put together effective campaigns and things along those lines, you're seeing more women being successful. And I think combine that with the Donald Trump factor, combining that with more women being more engaged in the political process in general and just being more in tune to who is running and paying attention and watching the CNNs and Fox and MSNBC. I think it's really propelling women supporting other women. And that's something that I think has been kind of really missing. Maybe say 20 years ago.
Deborah, what about black folks? We don't have as of yet, unless either of you two know, we don't have any official numbers of black participation in this 2018.
Voting-wise or candidates-wise?
Right, voting-wise.
Voting-wise. We turned out.
Yeah.
We did.
Because I noticed that there were two polling places, one in PG County yesterday, mm-hmm. that ran out of ballots.
Right, yes.
I mean, there's a couple in Prince George's County that ran out of ballots.
Yeah.
But also that happened in Burtonsville, and there were some issues also up in Baltimore
and
County.
And in D.C.
It has happened.
In D.C., the precinct ran out of vote counting machines.
Yeah.
There was only one, and one of the people who had stood in line for 3 hours, and you know her well, and she didn't appreciate that, was Eleanor Holmes Norton, D.C.'s delegate.
Mm-hmm.
So you can rest assured that that won't happen the next time. The thing is that why did it happen in the first place? Why were voting machines breaking down? Why weren't there enough ballots at precincts? Was everybody expecting an underwhelmment because it was a midterm election when everybody was raising hell about something? I don't care what your issue was or what party line you were in, they were raising Cain. But I want to do two things. I want to remind folks that there were 6 female senators when Carol Moseley Braun was in the Senate. 6.
Right.
And we were so happy, which is why I brought up the glass ceiling thing. Okay, number one. And number two, it's the age. Look at the Me Too movement and the Brett Kavanaugh factor, where Dianne Feinstein, who was the head of the snake on the Kavanaugh hearing, so to speak, wasn't looking good early on Tuesday night, and then she was able to pull it off. But you also have the Me Too movement, Harvey Weinstein, the Bill Cosby issue, who made women, forced women to pay attention to what was going on. Mm-hmm. And it's just that simple. And the Black Lives Movement, we cannot forget that those were two women who started that organization on behalf of the young brothers and other men who were being slain on the street. So we've all been paying attention the past 5-6 years, and sometimes you literally say exactly what J-Lo said in the enough. Yeah. I've got to do something and not just sit here and bitch and moan about the news every night.
Right.
Let's go to Pam. Pam calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Pam. What's on your mind?
Hi, I actually pulled over because I was so excited about your discussion.
Well, thank you so much.
I live in Montgomery County. I take care of my mother in Petersburg, Virginia. I'm from Mississippi, and I went to college in Florida.
Boy, I tell you.
Go, girl.
and God bless you for taking care of your mom.
Yes.
But go right ahead.
Yeah, well, and senior citizens have been a major issue for me, as well as health care. She has Alzheimer's in watching this election. But what I wanted to say is, so I supported candidates in 3 states. I actually supported Nancy Florine, who was a Democrat who ran as an independent for county executive and was a woman in Montgomery County, but she couldn't pull it out. If she had had more time, I think she could have. I was very disappointed in how the Democrats all flipped to support Hogan in Maryland. Mm-hmm. That was really shocking to me. I've known Ben Jealous both in Mississippi and Maryland. I also don't think the Democrats have the best plan moving forward. I think they're going to have to change their strategy. I am an independent, and to get independents like me who look at a lot of different issues, they're going to have to change strategies, and they can't keep doing the same old, same old. Mm-hmm. And my last comment is there needs to be a recount in Georgia and Florida.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I second that motion.
Yeah, and particularly in Georgia, because the ethical issues, you know, regarding that, you know, the votes and charges or accusations of voter suppression, and it's just Georgia is messy, and there really does need to be a recount. So Pam, thank you so much, and again, you know, keep on taking care of your mom. You only have one, so thank you so much. Anthony calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening, Mr. Fisher. How is everybody doing?
Doing just fine.
Okay, here's my take is this. There was a blue wave.
and it hit Virginia. People in there remember Charlottesville. And those like Corey Stewart took a whole lot of people away. And especially when Heather Heyer's day rally killed her, and people haven't forgot about that. That caused the Republicans Virginia. Number two, Donald Trump still has bitterness between he and Barack Obama in the dinner that Obama just made a joke on. And
he's talking about when President Obama made the comment during the correspondence dinner years ago.
Yeah,
I would second that. That really ticked off Donald Trump because not only was it funny, but Trump was the only one who didn't laugh, and he was being laughed at. Mm-hmm. And so, but please go right ahead, Anthony.
You look at him. He looked at Obama like, and his father, you gotta remember, his father was a spokesman for the Ku Klux Klan. So, in his way, Trump is like,
is that true? Wait, hold on. Is that true? I don't think that.
Never heard.
I've not heard that. I don't want to go into that. But make your final point, Anthony, because we need to move forward.
Okay, and I also say is this: remember when Clinton was in off when Clinton got impeached by the Republicans?
Okay.
So what goes around does come back around, but is the Democrats willing to take that gamble, which they have more evidence against Trump than the Republicans against Clinton? So you guys have a good night. Bye bye.
All right, thank you so much, Anthony. You know, the one and if you haven't seen it, because I think that shortly after Trump was elected, and there was a lot of attacking President Obama, go back and look at that, because Trump at that time was seething when he was the butt of the joke.
What did Obama say?
And I wish and you know, I think during the break okay. I'll definitely pick it up, because
yeah, I can't even remember.
I don't remember what he said, but yeah. I remember the look on Trump's face.
Yeah, I think it had something to do with the whole birther thing and Trump.
Yeah. Or something like that. I do want to talk about, and I want to go back to this piece about black people, because I think you made a really, really good point, Deborah. We did show up. Mm-hmm. Black people did show up, but I think it is also a reminder of the demographics of the United States. And I want to pull specifically back to the contest between Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke.
Mm-hmm.
Because like in most contests, O'Rourke, he won Houston and Dallas, you know, the urban mm-hmm. areas. And for quite some time, if you remember last week, he was ahead. But when they started counting those rural areas, West Texas, and you know, those counties have fewer people in them individually, but Texas is so big and they have so mm-hmm. many more. And so I would argue that even when black folks show up in urban areas, that we are reminded, 2016, mm-hmm. of the makeup of America.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what I mean. My family owns property in a rural part of Georgia. It ain't Atlanta. You understand what I'm saying? And it's so.
Your next neighbor is a car driver.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. So what you have to look at is that 2002, 2004, when we were shown the red and blue maps, you were mm-hmm. either red or you were blue. Mm-hmm. Then Northern Virginia turned purple, mm-hmm. while the rest of the state was still red.
Right.
The central part of Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, it's very red.
Right, exactly. And the western part. That's why when that nutcase went off in the temple
at the
synagogue,
yeah.
It was like, is it going to be a death penalty? Hello, where did it happen? Mm-hmm. It was not on the Philly and the eastern side. We're not as red and definitively red and blue as America was a generation ago,
right,
when you could. And even the election last night kept showing the red and blue map. Then I saw one that had gold in it. And I was like, hold on. Y'all ain't tell us nothing about no gold, no gold states. So what we have to remember also is that as we buy land, and we become entrepreneurs and business people and more millionaire-ish than, and we ain't just got, you know, Bob Johnson to point to anymore. We have to remember that we can live wherever we want to live and own land wherever we want to, just like Deion Sanders owns his big humongous ranch down outside of Texas.
Right.
That's the way it is. And we've got to start looking at, the strategists have to look at, I'm not saying that's against you now, Nicole, of course, but we've got to think in those terms is where do people live? They're exurbs outside the exurbs now.
True. And thinking about what issues are of concern to people in the rural areas and in the exurbs.
And money's always one of them, right?
The economy is always one.
Yes.
But they also said, you know, this cycle, the number one polling issue is healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of whether you're in an urban area or a rural area, healthcare is going to be very important to you. So it's a matter of, from the Democratic standpoint, how do we get that message out there that we're not just for the people in the cities, like you said, but the people in those in the rural areas and in the exurbs. Serbs, and that is something that we do need to work on.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I found
you did.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that on the other side. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment.
G/radio.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about the day after the midterms, winners, losers, and what's ahead for America. We had a caller who made reference to the 2011 Correspondents' Dinner where President Obama was speaking, and then private citizen Donald Trump was in the audience. And I remember that, and the president got in a good 5 minutes worth of zingers, but there were two particular points. One of them when he said he was going to release his birth certificate video, and then that video was from the Disney's Africa cartoon music. Help me with Hakuna Matata. Help me with that.
Lion King.
Thank you so much. But the other thing, and this was the interesting thing, that President Obama. At that time, he made a comment saying that he says, you know, say what you will about Mr. Trump. He certainly would bring some change to the White House. Let's see what you've got up there. And then Seth Meyers, who was hosting at that time, he said Donald Trump has been saying he'll run for president as a Republican, which is surprising because I just assumed he was running as a joke. And so, you know, there were just zinger after zinger after zinger, and President and then Citizen Trump was really the butt of the jokes. And one could argue that because of his difficult at best relationship with the media, he has not been to any of the correspondence dinners since he has been president, number one. And as we all know, that President Obama, no matter what you think of him politically, has always been a favorite. And so I think that if nothing else, I think that caller does make a point that was just one of the other piling on pieces that continues to make the relationship between former President Obama and current President Trump a very negative thing. But moving forward, are we moving forward?
Well, we'll see if anything gets done in this Congress. We do have a split House. There are some issues that the president says that he is able to work with Democrats on, such as issues around infrastructure, transportation, things along those lines. We'll see if that actually does occur. But right now, I think you're going to see a lot of posturing for 2020, is my speculation, unfortunately.
I can't think of a scenario where the Democrats would not want to get along with Trump, who even mentioned the infrastructure stuff the night of his acceptance speech. Remember, he brought that he up mm-hmm. and jobs for black folks. Right. And I know what's going on in the inner cities, though I hate that word. But at any rate, I can't imagine a scenario why the Democrats wouldn't go along with the president on spending money in our country,
true.
In our cities, towns, on our bridges, on our roads, on our streets, on our traffic lights.
Right.
Can you think of one?
I mean, there's a certain wing of the party that just wants to be obstructionist by any means necessary. I think it's the same wing that's, you know, talking about the impeachment and everything else. We cannot, you know, this idea of we have to, you know, be a little bit more dirtier as Democrats. You know, we're too nice as Democrats sometimes. And, you know, we need to, you know, the Republicans get down and dirty, so we need to get down and dirty too. And so we can't give this man an inch because he'll just take a mile and talk about, oh, how bipartisan he is and he can work across the aisle. And that does nothing but attract independents. And so it'll be interesting to see the direction that the party decides to go moving forward. I do kind of agree with the caller earlier that was talking about the whole impeachment thing to some degree. And you saw this with the Kavanaugh hearings. You know, say what you want to say about the Kavanaugh hearings. It did inspire a lot of women to come out and vote, but it also energized the Republican base. And before that, we had Democrats up in a lot of key Senate races that after the Kavanaugh hearings, those numbers tightened and actually flipped in certain states like Tennessee and North Dakota and things like that. And so, you know, I think as a party, we do need to be careful about kind of what would happen if we did go down that road in terms of formal impeachment process. I mean, when the Republicans did it to Bill Clinton, he actually, it did something to the party. It galvanized the party around mm-hmm. Bill Clinton, and he ended up winning re-election. And so,
and I think to bring it home a little bit clearer, Democrats agree and Republicans agree that American businesses don't have enough skilled Americans to give jobs to, whether they're paying that doggone annoying, everybody's got to get paid $15 an hour. Because that would piss me off if I'm worth $25 an hour. You hear me? But if it's for my community, my state, my mm-hmm. church, my community, my synagogue, my temple, what's wrong with agreeing on a plan on that? What would piss off? Would the unions be angry? I wouldn't think so. They'd get more members. Virginia would be different. Some other, their right-to-work states. Right, I understand that.
But hold on, though, because don't forget, this isn't just because the Democrats, you know, have the House. The entire House wants infrastructure money for the
right.
cities. The mm-hmm. entire Senate.
And that's where the money starts in the
right.
House.
That's right. And the entire Senate. You know, every state wants money for their cities and towns.
Right.
Okay. I think that that kind of deal, I think, would be really, really dicey. Because as you said, I still believe, if not impeachment necessarily, Democrats, as Chuck Schumer said today, they want to protect, number one, the Mueller investigation. Elijah Cummings said, we want to see Donald Trump's taxes.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
And so,
And he should be talking right now, drinking some hot tea with Jerry Conley on that.
Yeah, exactly. exactly. But you know, I think with that said, that infrastructure thing is going to get done. It doesn't matter because you can't hurt the Democrats without hurting the Republicans on infrastructure.
And
I'm really surprised, for that matter, that wasn't, you know, Barack Obama spent a lot of political capital on health care.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Donald Trump should have spent his political capital on infrastructure during the first 2 years.
Right, but that's just me.
And that bridge has been crossed.
Right.
So moving forward, I think that redistricting mm-hmm. and what the heck happens at our southern border over the course of the next 6 or 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared. I really am scared. And that's the only thing that came to my mind today when it said, well, one station actually said Jeff Sessions resigned, and then the other one said Jeff Sefford was fired, and I was like, okay, which is it?
Well,
or is
one
it the
said
same?
He was retiring,
and,
which was just
yeah.
You know,
but
know.
And that's what worries me, because that means some physical stuff could go on.
What do you mean?
I mean violence.
Yeah, I do agree. I am worried about
that's
that.
That's the
I mean,
only
you
thing
have,
in the immediate in the immediate picture. For what's going to happen between now and January, whatever the first Monday in January 2019 is, when everybody's sworn in. The thing that worries me is that there could be violence there.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many of us assume these are just people who are leaving their own countries and trying to get here because they want to get away from the violence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why they want to come to another country that got violence, I don't get that either.
My worry isn't necessarily the caravan that's
but it's
the militias.
It's the caravan. I'm not saying the people on the caravan. It's the very
you're
idea
the
of
issue.
The caravan. Absolutely.
So you're talking about
there's
the 77,000.
Absolutely. Because there's always violence on it.
Farm owners who say they want to protect their families.
And there's always violence at our border. Our border was born from violence.
Yeah.
So
right.
Let's not understand that. But please do not be naive enough to think that all those people can cross the border. And some crazy, whether he's the Pittsburgh synagogue type, whether he's the gay club shooting type, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right. There's somebody
who isn't going to take things into his own hand. And I'm sick and tired of us saying every time, you know, he had mental issues. Well, hello.
Let me go back to the phone lines. Bill calling from Maryland. He's been patient. Bill, what's on your mind?
Now, I just wanted to make a comment.
Sure.
Earlier. There was a lot of talk today about the governor's race in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I looked at is, and a lot of conversation about this, that Hogan ran two ads. And that one ad I thought was very racist, but it appears that it's not.
Which one was that?
The one where the black gentleman talked about he asked for help.
Yeah.
And he sent them help. And then right at the end, he says, and he's a white Republican.
But he acts like a regular guy.
Guy, right.
Yeah, we asked the lieutenant governor about that. He pushed back on it. Racist, maybe not. But I do think there may have been some kind of dog whistle or even reverse dog whistle, only because we had a black guy. Because I asked the lieutenant governor about that, and I said, why would somebody consider a Republican as is the case, a white Republican as anything other than a regular guy?
Right.
Why would somebody think them as other? And black people often complain about us being considered other. And so I, if nothing else, I agree that that was a strange thing.
Really?
I found it strange.
Well, see, here's where I'm coming from. If that had been a white guy who said, I got out in 2011, I didn't get no help until 2014, and I got that help from Larry Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a white Republican, but he's just a regular guy to me.
I still would have found that to be at least strange.
If a white guy had done that, why?
Because you compare a white Republican to something other than being human. And I think that is the issue. It doesn't matter who said it. And that's what I heard.
They're very human. Barack and Donald prove that, don't they?
I agree.
At the White House car sponsored.
Yeah, I agree. I agree they are human. Libertarians, Republicans, Democrats, Independent, they are human. It was the statement where that man said he was a white Republican, but he's also a regular guy.
No, but also look at me. I'm telling you, he's a regular guy.
That's my point. Why would he not see him as something other than a regular guy? Yeah, we got to go. Bill, you started some mess. Thank you, Bill, for calling and listening. I appreciate it. Deborah Simmons, Nicole Green, thank you for talking to us. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, November 7th, the day after the midterms. The real mess is coming. I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network.